Now that we know how to come from a regular expression to a deterministic finite automaton, we might now finally tackle our actual goal to come up with an actual scanner for a scanner specification. So, to repeat a little bit how a scanner specification is expected to look like, here we have a simplified version of how a scanner can be designed. So we get a collection of regular expressions that specify how token classes are looking like, in the help of regular expressions E1 to EK, and we get to react as callbacks when these tokens are recognized with actions action 1 to action K. So this is where you usually put some kind of C or Java code, whatever your scanner generator is based on. So far we have seen how to come from one singular regular expression to one deterministic finite automaton. However, in that setting, where there are several of these pairs of regular expressions and actions, we might need to specify how to deal with these situations. So in the setting of a scanner generator, the scanner that we generate is supposed to read a maximal prefix from the input that actually satisfies either of the presented regular expressions. So in that sense, the scanner generator is acting in a greedy way. It tries to match a maximum prefix. If it has done so, what is then happening is you need to differentiate and clarify which of the actions needs to be called, since when you found a match, you might have several regular expressions that match this prefix now, and you need to decide to which dispatch to. And in scanner generators, this is usually resolved in a way that we determine the minimal I for the regular expression EI, such that the word matches. So that means that rules that are defined in the beginning overrule rules that are lower down in our list of scanner rules. Now, and if you have determined the I that is responsible for handling that particular match, you will then be able to execute the action. So if you want to have such a behavior, you might wonder how all the constructions that we have done before that just treat how one singular regular expression can be turned into a deterministic automaton can be made use of. And well, the thing is, this is not so difficult to realize with the means that we already have. So what you would do for generating a scanner for that setting is you would create the, first of all, the NFA for the expression, that is the alternation between all the presented regular expressions, and then you would set up different finite states sets for the different regular expressions that you actually really want to differentiate. And since there is a certain hierarchy between them, what you can then do is that you can, from the set of final states that you generate for your complete expression here, you can sort out all the ones that contain final states for E1 and put them in an explicit set of final states for automaton 1. Then take the remaining states that there are that don't contain the final states for F1 anymore and try to So look for states that come from attribute last of E2, and with that build up your next particular finite state set for expression E2 and so on until you have finally disambiguated them all. So then if you end up in your in some final state of the NFA here, you can disambiguate whether the scanner must execute action 1, 2, k, whatever, by looking in this special finite in the special terminal state sets F1 to FK. So that gives you the disambiguation between all these E1 to EK. The question is now, how do you realize the greediness of the Skinner? And well, for that, you would use a very simple construction. The actual Skinner driver that processes the input and builds up this this deterministic automaton by need would, while reading the input, manage two pointers into the input and two related states of that, with pointer A being like a backtracking pointer, meaning that pointer A points to the last position in the input that has been a final state in the automaton, whereas pointer B you use for progressing through the input and tracking whatever you can reach until at some point you can't do any transition anymore. So what that means in a practical example would be that you, for example, would start somewhere in the middle of a complicated expression like this Java statement here. For example, you would end up here in the input. And when you start doing scanning for the next token, you usually start with, well, initially you don't have anything to backtrack to, so your backtrack pointer A will not point to any final state yet. The pointer itself points to the beginning of the thing, whereas the pointer B would also point to the beginning, but start with state Q0. Of course, if Q0 is also a final state, well, then A doesn't need to contain bottom, but could contain Q0, but that depends on your actual automaton. Well, anyway, what you would do then is you would go on to process the input by consuming the next character with respect to the state kept by B. So you would see where you could go with W from Q0. You would shift the pointed to position that is kept B and adjust the state as associated with B accordingly, and continue to do so while keeping track of whether your you reach the final state in your fallback pointer A. And that way you would, for example, progress through the input, eating up everything of this right line identifier, and identifiers usually can be everything from right to right line or whatever there is, and anything that's just a combination of mere characters could be an identifier, so you have a valid state in your fallback pointer. And let's say we are at the end of this write line and now have a white space. We are interested in seeing what happens there. We see that, oh, there's no transition that we can go with Whitespace from Q4 anymore. So this is the situation here. This yellow symbol would be the point where our greediness will seed to be useful. So in that case, we would backtrack to the last useful position, which is kept in our fallback pointer, which points to this N with the state Q4. Here in that particular situation, you probably don't really see a large difference between just going one character back from the point where B points to, but you can imagine that there are a few situations where you could continue for some time trying to build up something meaningful in B, however never reaching a final state until you in the end run out of alternatives to go with the current character, and then you would fall back a lot more character positions than just one. So anyway, with that you get the greediness of the whole thing. You would then chop the input at that position, consider write line as the token content, and return Q4 it was as the token classifier, and well, call the action 4 with write line as the collected input, and restart the whole thing with A pointing to nothing particular and B pointing to the start of the next input with Q0 as the initial state. One little extension, because that is a thing that practical scanner generators often offer, is scanner states. So what is scanner states? Well, now in tandem, it's actually really useful to be able to switch from one way of scanning to another way of scanning depending on the context in which you actually really are. In that situation, we speak of different scanner states. So well, you would, in a different scanner state, what would you do there? Well, you could, for example, look out for completely different sets of keywords and other token classes, or have different precedences for the tokens that you scan, all that. Let's just imagine something like embedded SQL or something. There you would have one language completely embedded into the other, where you would switch to completely different ways of scanning your input, and that could be done, for example, with scanner states. So but it's also a point is for scanner states, these transitions between those states usually are triggered depending on the consumed input, and since all we really have is singular tokens, there is certain tokens that just switch over from one state to the other. An example for that would be things like comments, for example. So if you have a comment opening token like this slash star in Java, then you would switch over to a new scanner state in which just everything is ignored apart from another star slash. So yeah, that is an example for that. How that looks like in the input of your scanner generator, you would then have your good old specifications of token classes and according actions, and what comes new is this part where you name the state that you are currently in and surround it with curly brackets, and you can put as many of these combinations of blocks in your input as you wish. The way to switch from one state to the other is having this special special function call in your action, which is called this yybegin, with a state name that refers to some identifier that you've given to another set of rules in your scanner specification. So this yybegin will switch over to the state that you specify in there, and there's usually a particular start state, like in flex or jflex. This is this yy initial state, which is the one that's by default the one that you start with. So as an example, for comments, for you can have a look here, where there's state yy initial that is missing the surrounding curly brackets. And in initial, you would have probably a lot of rules in there, but the one that is highlighted here is the one that starts off by giving the character sequence slash star, and as an action will switch over to the comment state, which is given down there. So this is the comment state, where we ignore everything that we find in the input, apart from the closing comment sequence star slash, which will then switch back to the initial state with yybegin yyinitial. So what you have seen there are a few peculiarities of the scanner generators that we haven't talked too much about so far. So there's a catch-all regular expression, that is this full stop, that are all characters that are not line feed, like this one here. Yeah, and how is that realized? Well, usually what you do is you generate the scanners separately from each other and then manually patch in transitions whenever this yybegin is called, and this will then manually switch over to another automaton and then start working there. Yeah, so this is what you do with this yybegin to a particular state. Yeah, of course, adding states to complicated states machines doesn't really add a lot of expressivity, so you could express things like these comments also directly as a token class with a respective regular expression. However, this could be very, very complex, and you might find it a lot more appealing to do that wire scanner states. Yeah, so this is a thing that's especially handy for preprocessors or to do something special for particular fragments of your usual program, like I've already said, with the embedded SQL or anything. So yeah, that's what states are all about. And with that, I want to end my introduction to scanner generating and terminate our lexicographic analysis part of lecture. Thank you.